This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On today's program, we're talking about the Tulsa Race Riot of 1921, during which the African-American section of Tulsa, Oklahoma, was burned down by a white mob. About 8,000 people lived in the Greenwood neighborhood at the time. Around 60 to 70 people are still alive. The Oklahoma legislature recently appointed a commission to recommend whether reparations should be given. In a few minutes, we'll hear more from law professor Alfred Brophy, who wrote the commission's report recommending reparations for survivors. With me is one of the survivors, Kenny Booker. He was 8 years old at the time of the riot. His family's home was burned down by white men. Though as an adult, Booker moved from Oklahoma to California. He eventually returned to Tulsa. I spoke to him from his home there and asked him how he first realized there was a riot going on.
Well, I didn't know it was a riot, but we had been playing outside a little bit. My father said, go inside. I hear shooting and there's trouble brewing. He said, go upstairs and into the attic. We had an attic that was floored, and we'd go play up there sometimes. They had to ease access by having a good strong ladder. Okay, that's when we first heard about it. Didn't know it was a race riot at the time.
So then what happened?
Well, a few minutes, I don't know how long it was, much time intervened, but we went upstairs. We heard my father, who stayed downstairs, looking around, seeing what was happening. Someone came to the door, talking very loud and rough, asking him, nigger, do you have a gun? Father, soft-spoken ordinarily, but he said loud enough for us to hear, I don't have a gun. They said, well, let's go. They were rounding up people. We found out later, round up Negroes taken to shelters. Found out later. At that time, my father said loud enough for us to hear him, please do not set my house on fire, because back of us, we were near a town, the white section. Back of us, where they started burning, our houses were burning and everything, so he made this statement. At that time, we realized that he was warning us to get out of there if necessary.
Who were the white men who came to the door?
I didn't find out till later, but they were either citizens deputized by police department, some members of clans, I think, Ku Klux Klan, I think. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they were white and have the Negroes going to town, going down to the white section. We went to, my father, I found out later, didn't know then, we went to one of the internment camp sites, convention hall center, okay?
What about you? What did you do?
We stayed up in the attic until father had spoken loud, and then we came down because we smelled smoke, and we realized then that they must have set a house on fire after he told them not to, because all the back of us was burning. So we got down and got out in a hurry.
Was it hard to get out of the house?
Not too hard because it wasn't a sudden explosive type of fire. It was going on slowly, so we were able to get out without hurting, because there were five of us up in the attic, four siblings, myself and my mother.
Mm-hmm. What did you do when you got downstairs? Did you stay in the neighborhood or leave?
Well, to tell you, before we got out and heard, because we heard bullets raining on our rooftop, we thought it was airplanes, and it might have been from machine guns up on Sandpipe Hill, they called it. But anyhow, when we got down, they had men, white men, coming along, escorting Negro people, men, women, and children, to the convention center. So we were escorted along. And while we were going along, my poor sister, who was only five at the time, terrified, she said in a terrified, shaking voice, Kenny, is the world on fire? We were walking towards the white section, and there was no fire there because they were being protected by fire departments. The fire could go there at that place. Anyhow, I told her no, but we're in a heck of a lot of trouble, baby. So we went on to the convention center from there. Other people walked along, and bullets was whizzing, singing along in the air. Didn't hit anybody, but the telephone poles were behind us and getting closer, were falling, being burned down, and so forth. We were conducted to the convention center hall, okay? Hall center.
So what was it like in the convention center, which was being used as a detention center? Did you feel like you were put there to be punished, or that you were put there to be protected from the white mob?
Well, we were put there because they were rounding up the Negro men, trying to get any of them that had protective guns and so forth. But we were being protected in a way because they weren't shooting anything around in the convention center and the places where they carried the Negro victims. So we were not, whether we were protected or not, we had to be in a way because they were burning our homes down and killing ones that weren't in the center, but they weren't doing anything to the people in the center.
How long were you kept at the convention center?
This I can't remember. It's rather an anachronism for me to try to remember all that as I was 8 years old, and now I'm 80, almost 87, 86. But I can't give you an accurate time, but it was a few hours anyway.
Mm-hmm. And when they released you from the detention center, where did you go? Was your house burned to the ground?
Well, they weren't releasing any Negroes from the center unless some responsible, or they considered responsible, white person, especially those who were employees of the Negro men or women. My father worked for H.F. Wilcox. He was an oil tycoon, multimillionaire. And he asked for the book of family, and at that time we found out that my father was there, and he took all the whole family to his mansion, and we stayed there.
What kind of work did your father do for this millionaire?
He was a chauffeur and a handyman. He was given quite a bit of consideration because he could do things very well for this. Yeah.
How long did you live in the millionaire's mansion?
This I can't tell you either, but we lived there long enough for my sister Dorothy to play with his kids and things. I guess I can't tell you how long, but they had to clear all the debris from where the homes had burned down so they could put tents up. So I can't tell you how long, but we stayed there long enough for that to happen.
And then did you have to move into a tent?
We moved into a tent for a while, yes. We were fortunate enough for I had a 14-year-old brother, Doug, who, with my father's help, and finally we were able to get some lumber. I had a floor in our tent. We were lucky enough to have a floor because, if I remember correctly, it rained. Looked like that was an aftermath of the burning. It started raining. So we were lucky enough to have a floor in.
Was your house completely destroyed by the fire?
Oh, yes. Nothing but rubble.
Uh-huh. And after living in the tent for a while, when did you move into a house again?
Another time that I can't tell you how long it was, but we did finally get back into a house. The white people, I understand, my father was saying, they would not sell him lumber to have it start building back. They were trying to prevent the Negroes from building their homes back for a while until the city or someone who was responsible was sued by lawyers, and finally they were able to rebuild, but it took a while. You couldn't get materials for a while.
So your father had a house built for the family?
Oh, yes.
And was it in the same neighborhood?
Yes, it was, almost the same place. It was difficult. Civilians had to come out, I imagine, to try to locate the places where you lived before, but it was practically the same place.
So what was left of the neighborhood? I mean, were there any stores left, any other homes left, or was everything built from scratch?
Everything that was, unless it's very far, far north, Negro stayed from separation of whites and blacks going north. Well, way in the back, there might have been some shacks left up, but all the homes were destroyed by fire, and most all of the businesses were destroyed. I think the high school, which was a Combination Elementary High School, Booker T. Washington, was not destroyed, whether by plans or not. But it was one of the places where Negroes were kept for shelter for the time being.
Had your family owned the house that was burned down?
Oh, yes. We had a nice three-bedroom home, car, piano. I learned how to play piano young. We had these things, yes.
Did you get any kind of compensation from the government or an insurance company?
Nothing. Insurance company, well, I don't know whether my father had insurance, but other people have said the insurance company would not honor the black homes that were insured. I don't know whether I was or not, but we didn't get any compensation for everything was lost. Could I make a statement about reparations?
Please.
Well, my idea is this. They claim they don't know whether the state or the local government were responsible, but now blacks and whites were paying taxes for protection like the police and fire department. The money was not black, it was green in color. But we were supposed to have protection. Instead of having protection for us, that money was being used for people who were destroying our homes. What an incredible thing that was happening. We were paying money at that time for protection, but the protection was for the people who were killing us and destroying our homes. That's what I wanted to say about reparations. Certainly that should be reparations. Financial. I don't mean a memorial. I don't want a memorial to remind me that some of my friends and all our homes were burned. I don't need that. I think financial reparations. Thank you for letting me say that.
Oh, sure. If the government does agree to give reparations to the survivors of the 1921 Tulsa riot, as one of the survivors, what would you hope to do with the money that you would get?
Well, be frank with you. Part of it, I would move, get away from this town as quick as I could. But I guess I'd have to divide with, you know, some of the survivors. I mean, some of my relatives. But I would use part of it to get away from Tulsa, that's for sure. The prejudice is still here. It's better. Things are better, but it's still here.
Do you ever run into white people of your age and wonder if they're the offspring of the people who burned down your house?
Oh, yes, I do. And most of them will say, well, I think I talked to one. They said, well, we weren't responsible, which is true. That didn't happen, but just like they inherit the good things that the family did, being helped by Negroes, they also inherit the bad things that did. They didn't do it, but the government did, and they should have reparation. We should.
Kenny Booker was 8 years old at the time of the Tulsa Race Riot. Coming up, more with the author of the Tulsa Race Riot Commission report recommending reparations for survivors. This is Fresh Air.